Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you this morning in the almighty name of Jesus. We ask that you will meet with us this morning, Lord, as we come into your word. Lord, may you teach us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Soften our hearts to hear from you and to receive from you this morning, Lord. Lord, I ask for your help. I ask for your power to be at work. Speak to us this morning, O Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. This morning we continue with our series, Give Thanks to the Lord For. And this morning we're going to speak and focus on giving thanks to the Lord for his security. Security is important to us. Security is perhaps best defined as the state of feeling safe or stable and free from fear or anxiety. This is what most, if not all, people hope for in their lives, to have security for their lives. However, the places that people attempt to find security for their lives can be very different. In our Western world today, perhaps the most common places that people attempt to find security for their life are in their bank balance or their possessions or career. The predominant view is that if our bank balance is large enough, then we'll have security for our life and our future, and more specifically for our families. In our world today, it's almost a given, isn't it? The world basically revolves around economies. So the best way to be secure in this world is to have a large enough amount of money and resources to have and supply all of our needs, and maybe a few wants. Many attempt to find their security in their job or career, because this is generally the best place or the most prominent place where they can generate income and possessions. Perhaps others might seek to find their security in their health. I'm sure you've all heard something to this effect said before. It doesn't matter how much money you have. If you do not have your health, it doesn't mean anything. And perhaps others still might seek to find their security in relationships, with family, spouse, friends. It seems that these are a few of the more common places that people attempt to find security for their lives today. But the common problem with these places is that they're unstable and temporary. If the economy crashes, then the one trusting in their finances is done. If sickness strikes, then the one trusting in their health is in a world of difficulty. If relationships hit a bump in the road, then the one trusting in them is left desperate to find someone else to put their trust in. But our text this morning gives us a glimpse into the only place that one can find true and lasting eternal security for their lives. Please turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Matthew chapter 28. The 28th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And look with me at verse 28. At the end of verse 20, we read this comforting and assuring promise of God. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Here is our security. The promise of God to be with us always, even to the end of the age. This is such an amazing promise spoken by the Lord Jesus himself to his disciples and to all who would come to believe in him through their testimony. This being said, why are the promises of God the most reliable and secure foundation for our lives? This point is made in Hebrews chapter 6, where the author explains God's promise to Abraham from the book of Genesis, that God would bless Abraham and multiply his descendants on the earth. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 19. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having waited patiently, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So, when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Why are God's promises the greatest security for the lives of all men and women? Because he has sworn them by himself. And who is he? Well, he is the eternal, almighty, holy, all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere present, God. And if this doesn't give you confidence enough, it's helpful to know that it's also impossible for God to lie. The Almighty God of the universe, who has all power to do anything that he purposes to do, has spoken a promise to us. And not only does he have all power to accomplish his promises, but it's also impossible for him to lie. Therefore, the promises of God are the greatest and only true security in the life of any person, especially to those who believe. Well, hear the words spoken in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, where it says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. These are just a few reasons for why God's promises found in the Bible are the greatest security for the life of every man and woman. However, the question to each of us today is, do you trust in God's promises? Do you truly find security for your life in the promises of God? Do you take refuge in the promises of God? The promise that he has been, is, and will always be with you, even to the end of the age. The questions I've often wrestled with before the Lord in the place of prayer have been, Daniel, if you no longer have, fill in the blank, but you have me, are you secure? Now, Daniel, if you lose whatever it might be, but you have me, am I enough? And so this morning we're going to wrestle through a few of these questions before God. This morning we're going to take the opportunity to try our own hearts and reflect upon exactly where our security is for our lives. So the first question I want to consider this morning is this. If you lose your job, but you have God, are you secure? This is an interesting one. But what happens within you if you're to show up to work tomorrow and the boss calls you in and says, look, you've been great. We appreciate all that you've done here, but we have to let you go. Understandably, this is a surprise. It's a shock. I'm not saying that you won't be surprised or shocked in this situation, but the key point to consider is this. What happens next? After you've been surprised or shocked, where do you turn? Do you find security and rest in God despite no longer having a job? Can you? Not saying that it might not take some time to struggle through, but what I'm asking is, will you actually come to find rest and security in this uncertain situation as you look to God? Or will you only have frustration and anger toward Him? Will you remain in a place of confusion with God that causes your heart to withdraw from Him? Or will you resolve as Job, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him? Where do you turn? Do you turn inward? Do you look to your own intelligence and ability to try and resolve the problem? I'm not suggesting that you have to sit back and do nothing, but I'm asking if your own intelligence and ability is your place of security. Or does your shock turn into fear? Fear of how you'll provide for yourself, your spouse, your family? Do you plummet into the abyss of what if and start playing all the slideshows of these devastating scenarios that could happen to you and your loved ones because you no longer have your job? What does happen next for you? Honestly, consider how you'd react in this situation. Consider your habits, your past responses in these types of situations. There's a strong likelihood that you'll walk in those responses again. I'm not trying to be cynical by saying that, it's just most realistic. If you've always reacted a certain way, apart from some specific grace of God to intervene, you're probably going to take the usual route. So let me put some further questions. Is it possible for a person not to plummet into fear in this situation? Is it possible for a person not to turn inward, not to start thinking about all the ways they can attempt to solve their problem, but instead turn to God? Is it possible for a Christian, in the moment of surprise and shock on account of losing their job, to fix their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and have security, rest, and peace which transcends all understanding in their lives? Is this a legitimate option? Or is it some sort of fairy tale? What does the Bible say about our reactions in difficult situations? James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 say, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." How's your ability to have joy when you've been told you've lost your job? Is that your natural reaction? You've lost your job. Thank you, Lord. You know, it sounds humorous or foolish, but I think this is one of the biggest charges against our modern Christian church. Our frequent inability to trust the Lord in times of trial reveals the quality of our faith. It reveals where we truly find our security. Well, hear what the scripture says of the Christian response to trials in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The proof of your faith in times of trial is more precious than gold. True faith holds firmly like an anchor within the Lord in times of trial and trouble. True faith's anchored in the Lord in all situations because it clings to his unchangeable character and his unfailing promises. Why does our response in this situation matter so much? Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Our response in this situation matters so much because without faith, it's impossible to please God. The proof of our faith in times of trial is what is more precious than gold and what results in praise and glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's consider another question. If you don't have a place to live, but you have God, are you secure? Is he enough? Natural disaster strikes. Money disappears. Landlord decides to sell up at short notice. Family kick you out. Whatever the scenario might be, you find yourself without a roof over your head. Again, this may come as a surprise or shock. But what happens next? Where do you turn? I'm not saying that you're not going to reach out to someone for help. But the question is, are you going to fix your eyes on the Lord first and foremost? Are you going to reach out to someone with the peace of God which transcends all understanding, guarding your heart and your mind? Or are you going to reach out to someone in a frantic state of fear and uncertainty? We can't switch off, church. This is important. Do not even those who hate God fly into a frenzied panic in times of trouble. So what difference does the Lord make in the most trying of life's circumstances? Does he make a difference for you? Because he should. This is the life of a Christian. It should be one bearing the mark of constant trust in the Lord. This is not easy. It's not logical. It's not possible in our own ability. But this is the walk of faith. When we're at church on Sunday or in a heightened state of emotion before the Lord, many of us are quick to speak to the Lord Jesus as the scribe does in Matthew chapter 8, verse 19. "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." But are we willing to follow Jesus as he responds in verse 20, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." If the Lord leads you to a place where you have nowhere to lay your head, will you follow him? Is he your security? Greater security than a roof over your head? Or if you lose your riches or possessions, but you have God, are you secure? In our culture today, this is a difficult question. It was a difficult question for the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. Let me read to you. A man ran up and knelt before Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Many in our day would go away sorrowful if they were truly called to give up everything to follow Jesus. Consider the vast multitude of people trusting in riches and possessions in this world today. And there are millions, if not billions. So is trusting in riches or possessions a plausible place for someone to find their security? Consider with me Jesus' words in Luke chapter 12, in verses 13 through 21. Hear what Jesus has to say about the one who puts their trust in riches and possessions. Someone in the crowd said to him, that is Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, the people around, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool.'" God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." God said to him, "Fool." Riches and possessions are not a plausible place to find security for your life. When you find yourself on the cusp of eternity, you don't want your security to be in money or possessions. Why? Because they have no eternal value. When your soul's required of you, then the false security that riches and possessions promise will be exposed. And at that moment, it'll be too late. Don't wait until the last day to have this confirmed. Trust in Jesus Christ now, while you have the opportunity to do so. Don't wait until you get older to trust in Jesus, because you might not get older. Don't wait until tomorrow, because it may never come. Your next breath isn't promised to you. So if you see that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord, then humble yourself before him and trust in him with your life. This is the moment where you can say, no more. If you recognize that you've anchored your life in some false security, then make the decision today to draw up your anchor and instead cast it into the Lord Jesus Christ, the reliable, unchangeable character and promises of Almighty God. And there you will have true and lasting eternal security for your life. But if you're here this morning, brother or sister, and your anchor is holding within the promises of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, then rejoice this morning. For you have true eternal hope and security. If your security is placed in Jesus Christ, then you will not be shaken. Your security is steadfast and sure this morning. Our Lord says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I am with you always. Do you ever wander? The Lord says, I am with you always. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Jesus says, I am with you always. Prone to leave the God I love. But Jesus says, I am with you always. Owe to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Let thy goodness, Lord. It's his goodness that binds our wandering hearts to him. We have a good God, church. And his goodness isn't based upon us. He is good. And his goodness is our security. Does your faith fail sometimes? Scripture says that when we are faithless, he remains faithful. This is our God. He is our hope, and he is our security. Jesus says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful to you this morning. For you are a good God. You are good. And this morning we want to lift our thanksgiving to you. We want to lift up your praises this morning, Lord, for you alone are worthy. Thank you for your promises, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your promise that you are with us always to the end of the age. Give us wisdom to trust you above all else that this world offers, Lord. I pray today, Lord, if anyone is here and they do not trust in you, work in their hearts by your Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask that you would give each one true, lasting, eternal security for their lives. And we ask this of you in the almighty name of Jesus. Amen.